This last night, I was praying for God. What do you want to do this morning? At C3, we do make a lot of plans. We do study the Word every week. We try and get in the Word. We try and get into podcasts, books, whatever you got to do, so that Sunday morning you can be free. It's the same for worship leading. I asked John to prepare 3 or 4 songs, but if he gets up there and for some reason he wants to skip that last song because that second song just wants to go somewhere, he has the freedom. But last night I'm like, Lord, I've planned this whole sermon, but what is it that you want to say to the people? And I really felt just before I start that God was wanting to just remind some of you or all of you that you're not alone. Just having a lot of pictures in my mind when I was talking to God, and just to share with you, like, you know, when the storms are raging, he's still got a hold of you. When life is going upside down, he's got a hold of you. Call out his name. He's like an anchor. He's the one who wants to steady you. And not that you won't ever have these waves, not that you won't ever have the storms, but he is there with you, and he's going to bring you through. It's so simple, but even as we were singing that, there's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing. I just picture Peter. He's just like, he could have just stayed with that boat, right? When he stepped out and walked to Jesus, he's like, Jesus, if that's you on the water, just say to come out and I'll come out. He said, Peter, it is me. Come on. He's just, bloop. I don't know. We're not there. I don't know if he did one of these. Or yeah. You know, you grab the edge of the boat and jump over. All the guys in the world are like, ah, Peter. But the same thing. You're not alone, but keep your eyes on him. And you'll be able to just keep walking with him on the water. I'm feeling good this morning. A little bit different. I was reading The Message this week. The Message. Sometimes people have like an issue with that. Don't call it a Bible. Call it The Message paraphrase. Don't call it The Message translation. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But we are going to be turning there. We're going to be turning to Matthew. No, we're going to be turning to Colossians, just so you can start turning there if you want, just as we're talking. I'm going to turn to Colossians 2. But this Sunday, we've been talking for the last like 3 months, maybe even 4 months. It felt like we've been dishing you a lot of teaching. We've been dishing you a lot of, this is what heaven is like. John preached a little while ago, rocked our worlds. I preached, rocked your worlds, amen. I'm just sure. But we've been just telling you, hey, this is what God can do through you. This is what God wants to do. So this morning, guess what? We're going to have a simple sermon, and it's called Go For It. So we're going to get to Colossians 2. But how many know that God wants to be fully known in the earth? The name of our church, C3, Christian City Church. God wants to see a Christian city. Do we believe for that? Can we have big sights, big vision? We don't want to just save a few. We want to see this whole city, each person filled with the life of the Holy Spirit inside of them, right? So he wants to be fully known, but the only way he can be fully seen is through love. And so that he can be fully known. I mean, we can share truth, we can share things like this, but I believe he is fully known through our love. But the only way that we can show that is when we have confidence in who we are in him. Who we are to him, that we can walk in confidence and love. Who wants some confidence this morning? Good. I'll preach on it then. I like this. This is Sean Bowles. He has a tweet and it says, you can wait for awesome to happen to you, or you can empower it right now. Some of us are waiting to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. When Christ died on the cross, and what did he say? It is finished. He said, what needed to be done was done, and now you are empowered. He did not say, I'm going to give you a portion of the Holy Spirit. He said, I am not too insecure that I can't give you the full measure I had on earth. the same Holy Spirit I had, I give that to you freely. That's what Jesus did. Just before we go to that, I'm going to turn to Luke 10. I had this on my heart. I didn't have it on the back. We're going to jump to this too. Luke 10, if you have your Bibles. This is about Jesus and how he feels about power. How he feels about if he's insecure or not. This is our Jesus. So if you want to close your eyes, that's fine. So after this, the Master Jesus commissioned 70 others, 70 people, and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he was intending to go. So Jesus sends these people out before him, and he says, there's a great harvest out there, he said to them, but there aren't many workers, so plead with the harvest master to send out workers for the harvest. So right now he's sending those two by two. Well, we haven't got to that part, but he's sending the 70 out before his face. And he says, man, this is going to be a crusade. People are going to love you. Get your ties on, shine your shoes, because you're going out before me. They are going to love you. No, so it goes on to verse 4. Oh, no, verse 3. Off you go now. Remember, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Thank you, Jesus. So he gives them, he's like, go before it, and they're going to hate you. So that's nice. Verse 4, take no money bag, no pack, no sandals. So don't take any money, because if they're going to hate you anyway, may as well not be able to steal your money, right? And don't stop to pass the time with anybody on the road. Wherever you go into the house, first say, peace on this house. If a child of peace lives there, your peace will rest on them. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what they provide. The worker deserves to be paid, you see? Don't go from house to house. If you go into a town, they welcome you. Eat what is provided. Heal the sick who are there and say to them, God's kingdom has come close to you. But if you go into a town and they don't welcome you, go into the streets and say of the town, here is the very dust of your town clinging to our feet, and we're wiping it off in front of your eyes. But you should know this. God's kingdom has come close to you. Let me tell you, on this day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for this town. Wow. Okay, this is a bit heavy. So Jesus sends them out two by two. I just like this other verse. I always have to come back to it. It says, take no money bag, no pack, no sandals, and don't stop to pass the time with anyone on the road. I like that idea. Like, don't stop and talk to people. I'm sending you out two by two, because if I sent you three by three, one of you is going to talk the other two out of it. So two by two, I'm sending you out. Don't stop and talk to anybody on the road, because I'm just sending you out before my face. I'm not even going with you guys. But he, wherever you go, he says, heal the sick that are there and say to them, God's kingdom has come close to you. This is a big deal. So we're going to get to the other verse that follows in a little bit. But that's Jesus. That's our Jesus. He sent people out with power. That's our Jesus. He didn't say, hey, guys, hey, 70, I'm happy you've been with me for the last 4 years. You've got your degree in Christian discipleship. That's actually what Ange and I did. That's what our degree is in, Christian discipleship. So you rest assured. But no, he just says, all right, we're going to go for it. How many of us have that in our heart? We're ready to go for it. Okay, well, I'll get you there if you're not there. There's a culture of freedom in heaven. We need to be trained in that culture. Jesus, a lot of the time that he spoke with people, he was just teaching things to kind of reprogram people's minds. This is what you've heard say, but I say to you. You've heard Moses say, eye for eye. But I say, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek to him. Jesus was constantly flipping. Hey, this is what your culture teaches, but I'm teaching you. Now, if somebody wants to steal your shirt, give them your shoes as well. You know, just let them have it. I'm not like the current generation. I'm different. So the same is true for freedom when Jesus was talking about. We're going to get to freedom. Do you remember? I was trying to remember the name of this movie. I think it's actually made from a book. It's about this little boy who it's in the concentration camp time. The war is over, but he was still held back by this one German guard. So this German guard finally lets the boy go free, but he just lies to this little Jewish boy and says, "You have to run for it. They're all out to get you. You're going to be killed." This is what he said, but the war was over. So this boy runs. He runs to this guard says, "You have to go north." He goes north. He starts living with this family, and they're all looking at him like, "What's with this guy? He's like a man on the inside, but he looks like a boy on the outside," full of fear. And sometimes the church can feel like that. The church can live like that. We have been set free, and the war has been won by Jesus Christ, right? And if somebody whispers in your ear like that guard did, you've got to run for it. You're not safe. You know those power lines? I always tell the power lines, witches are talking to audio cassettes. You know how it had that stuff? They're saying curses over it. And then they're throwing it up over top of power lines. And then you drive under it and you're like, "Oh, I feel something." That's the curse. You drove under the curse. People live kind of in this like, "Oh, I can't quite move. Where's my pastor? I got to call him." If you have to call Ange and I about every little thing, we're going to die. We don't have enough time, do we? Jesus just wants to say, "You're empowered. Go for it. You don't need Brock and Angie's permission for pretty much anything. You are free." So anyways, that's what I feel like the church can be sometimes, living under a false mindset that you're not free and having to run through life. I was at this leadership conference, and I'm talking to a couple of these friends, and they're talking to me about empowering. What do you do with your church? I'm like, talking about worship team. We just started up a few years ago. It's like, "So what did you do for the worship team? Like 3 months, 6 months?" No, I just said, "We need a worship team tomorrow. Let's go for it." They're like, "What if they fail?" I'm like, "But what if they do good? That's the real question, right? What if they succeed?" There's a bad mindset. Like, there's another thing. Hey, hold it back. Hey, I remember one pastor, we were floating in a pool. Yeah, we're just talking. He's like, "You got to be careful not to share your pulpit too much." And I was like, "Oh, dang, I've been doing that so much with lots." He's like, "How's that been going for you?" "Hey, we're actually fine. I think we're growing." It's like, really? Yeah, I've been just empowering people. It seems to be going okay. So there's my idea. I'm a first-time pastor, so it's actually okay. I was listening to somebody talk, and I was like, "Bill Johnson, we love him. He's a good man. I'm so happy to know there's a guy who doesn't have a college degree who's an amazing pastor." You don't need a degree to be an amazing pastor. Thank you, Lord. You just have to have a brilliant wife. That's the only thing. So Colossians 2, we're going to head there. I'm reading from the Message. Verse 6. "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You receive Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving." I like this. This is pretty much straight up, go for it. Okay, let's just head that there. "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given." How many ready are ready to just go ahead? I'm ready to just be free to tell my neighbors about my love for Jesus. "This little man, I'm going to cover it up because I might offend people." Like, that's the song from last week. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it. I wanted harmony, but that'll do. So let's go. I just want to hop back now to Luke 10 with Jesus. I love this. So it says the 70 came back. They had just done this crusade. They come back I don't know if they call it a crusade. They just came back from healing people. Jesus just sent them out. Verse 17. The 70 came back exhilarated. Master, they said, even the demons obey us in your name. They're just like, what? Because earlier, before, they're like, I'm going to send you out two by two before I go. And they're like, are we ready for this? Jesus, are we prepared? No. But just go. No, he said, you are prepared. I give you the power. And then verse 18, Jesus is like, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He replied. Verse 19, look, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and every power of the enemy. Nothing will ever be able to harm you. That's just beautiful. We could just keep reading, but I love that idea. That's the locker room talk. You got Peter coming back, and he's just walking back from healing those people two by two. Hey, guys, you know what? Lepers everywhere. Heal them all. And then the next guy's like, yeah, right. Blind people, heal them all. Then there's Jesus, like, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And everyone's just like, locker room, whoa, whoa. We did it. Okay, that was a picture, but do you get the picture? So, like, going back to that, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. This is how you're going to learn it, Jesus says. Go do it. That's how you're going to learn what to do. Just go for it. You've been taught. Time to just fold up your NIV, and it's awesome. Throw it in your pocket. Keep it with you, but just start walking now. All right. That's so exciting that healings were happening. That's even before the Holy Spirit fell on us and gave us the full measure of the Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful thing. Jesus treated those men and women as if they could handle being their true selves. And it wasn't just a spirit that they received or a gift that they received, but these are the type of people where, like, I am so, like, because now of what I realize Jesus has made available for me, I'm not just doing good things. I actually don't have time for those things I was doing before. That's some good news for this morning. If you just start getting out and doing the work, walking with Jesus, these things that have been plaguing you aren't going to have time anymore. I don't have time for the internet because I got to go out and talk to my friends about Jesus. I like this idea. So many Christians are waiting for permission. But like the word says, it's easier to ask forgiveness than ask permission. No, that's not in the Bible. But but I do like that idea. Yeah, don't quote me. Twitter. Like Jesus said. But what I'm trying to say is, even when Angie and I were moving out here to Saskatoon, there was no leadership like Pastor Lauren saying, I am commissioning you to go. There was nothing like big like that. They were like, hey, we think you'd be a good fit out in Saskatoon, and we'd encourage you if you'd like to go. That was like it. They never had to like sit us down for coffee, tell us all the reasons why we should go. Because we live in C3 and in Christ. We just live in a culture of freedom. You want to do a mission? You can go do a mission. You want to go do a two-week thing? I would say bless you and go for it. There's not going to be this, well, you're on the worship team. Did you find someone to replace yourself? No? I think the Lord might be needing, you should go pray about it. No. And just to go along with that, man, I love when people realize, they're like, say this kids ministry thing's going to take off. People that come up to me and like, I've been on the worship team every week, but I really have a desire to see this children's ministry thing take off. That's glorious. You don't have to feel like, oh, I'm so buckled down. Like, if you're called to something else, go serve in that area. Be free. Because that just means God's going to open a door for somebody else in the congregation to get up on the worship team. It's not a loss. Back to the notes, okay? But I just love that. There was this thing about C3, even with us moving out here. There was no... They weren't hounding us, like calling us. Have you guys thought about Saskatoon? Are you guys going? No. They just waited for us to respond to them. And I feel like that's a very similar culture for us here at C3. As much as you guys, I feel like so many of you are so talented, you just need to come and ask, okay? We're going to be cool about it. I grew up in church. Who grew up in church in this place? Let's talk a little bit about freedom. So my parents were like in this church forever. I would consider them like the higher uppers, we'll say. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. But you know when you have parents that are like leaders in the church, your kids naturally kind of see, oh, my parents have that much freedom. So your kids naturally have a lot of freedom. Do you know what I'm saying? They would have to actually put restrictions on me growing up, which I loved. Like, I wasn't the pastor's kid, but I had enough freedom where I naturally just got to lead the Rat Pack around church. Hey, we're going up to the front. I love this little posse. We're all going up to the front. We're worshiping. But the freedom thing, the boundary thing that I thought was funny, and I'm going to just move on from the story after this. It's just an illustration. I would see a bongo up on that stage. And I'm like, this song could use some bongos. And unless somebody came up behind me and tapped me on the shoulder as I'm going up to the stage, I would be on the bongos playing that song. What if we lived like that as Christians? What if we just went for it and waited for God to tap us on the shoulder, being a little too free? I would much rather that. I would much rather the problem of Christians is they're too free. Isn't that good? They're too... Instead, I feel like sometimes it's God like, get up, get out, go do something, anything, go have a drink, go see a band, go do something. There's tons of stories about freedom. Can I tell one more before I go on? You guys love me enough? It was so cool when I first started going to C3 Calgary, because Ange and I grew up in this fun little place, and then we got into a church for a few years where this is how it is. And that's fine, because I was serving another church. I was a youth pastor. And you have to come along your pastor, right? I would respect my pastor. So he said, you cannot go to a bar. That was like in what I had to sign when I came to that church. And that's fine, right? You cannot drink. And I said, check. I never up to that point, I never even had a drink before. It was like 25 before I knew the difference between red and white wine. But man, it was just a goofy time. I had to like sign a covenantal thing with my, I can't watch reality TV shows. It was ridiculous. But what I learned from Kim Kardashian is how to preach a sermon. The same thing Kim said to her husband is what a pastor should say to the congregation. Like she said to her first husband, don't worry, I won't keep you long. That's a good joke. But that's what I learned there. But when I went to C3, it was a beautiful thing with Sam. He's like, hey, guy, why don't you come on out? He's like a pastor there. Why don't you come on out to the bar? We're going to have a drink. And I was like, we're going to go evangelize? He's like, how do I say this? How do I explain my culture of freedom to you? He's like, no. Just come out. I'm like, people drink? What if somebody gets drunk? He's like, we drive him home. We don't endorse living that kind of lifestyle, but we don't limit their freedom. We don't tell them what they're going to do and not do. And nobody on the staff gets drunk or drinks heavily, but there's a culture within the culture that you can live in balance. Should I talk about balance this morning? No, let's just talk about, it's something beautiful that the world needs to see Christians living in balance. Oh, I just want to tell so many stories about stuff like that. Jesus says, I'm giving you heaven. So here's Matthew 5. Let's go to Matthew 5. I'm reading from the message again. How's everyone doing this morning? Are you getting the spirit behind these stories? It's not just to tell a funny story. I'm trying to like illustrate something to you. Matthew 5, verse 14, he said, here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, do you think I'm going to hide you under a bucket? Do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep an open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father in heaven. That's another good one. Thank you, Jesus. He says, shine. Let your light shine. Don't shine with like selfish motives. You know, you just see the certain people, it's like, I'm shining for Jesus. Yeah, but you're not generous at all with your life. It's like this little light of mine. It's a little bit different how they sing it. No, just be a shine for him. If you want to join the worship team, we'll let you join the worship team. But if it's like, la da da do, and it's just like, no, we just want to praise him. Anyways, let the light shine for him. Be generous. It's so beautiful. The world is waiting to see Jesus shining in Saskatoon. But guess who gets to do it? You and I. I like that simple word. We get to represent Jesus. What does that mean? We get to represent Jesus to people. What are we going to represent him as? What kind of life are we going to live? Are we going to live like... No, let's go and not go there. Connect to the authentic you. People want to believe in the Jesus they talk about, that you talk about, but a lot of times they won't believe it until they see it lived out. No pressure. One thing that's totally beautiful is like you can be friends with somebody and you can be just so generous that they start to see the light in you. Preach and if necessary, use words. That's what it says. Just go love on somebody. It's not a big deal to talk about what God's done in your life. People aren't offended by you talking about, I got saved. They just have a false conception a lot of times about Jesus. Just give it some time. They have it like, oh, those preachers are crooks. Remember like when I first told some of my family who's not Christian, I'm going to go to Bible college. I'm going to go into full-time ministry. Oh, don't be one of those TV evangelists. You're going to bring shame on our family. Those type of things. I didn't think I said TV evangelists. Do you remember those words coming out of my mouth? But there's something attached. Similar to... Anyways. You know what I'm saying, right? Yeah, I'll just say it. So it's like, it's similar to racism. It's so touchy to say something like that. But I believe racism isn't indwelt. It's just something that people pick up generation after generation. Things that are said, things that are taught, and then people view people a certain way. That isn't correct. You just got to know the same thing is happening with Christianity. People have just been taught this is how they're crooks. They're stealing money from old people to big buildings. That's what they're all about. God wants you to represent Christ to your friends. Could we do that? Could we go for it? Could we be generous with our lives? Well, good. God is good. And the cool thing is, like, God chose Paul. This is a guy who used to kill Christians. This guy is worse than Judas in a lot of people's eyes. This guy used to kill Christians. So even your first friend who's so turned off by Christianity could be the next Paul. Keep that in mind. He could be the one that hates Christians to a T and loves his atheism religiously. Oh, they wouldn't say that. But just share the love. Share the light within your heart. Jesus, right? It could be the next Paul. Hopefully not the next Judas. If you don't feel free, if you think you have to jump through hoops to serve God, that's not a good thing. If you're saved, if you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life and you're not in this deep carnal sin that needs counseling, guess what? Right now, you're a leader. Some of you won't be able to come out to the leadership retreat, so I have a couple ideas that I wanted to share. We still have like 6 open spots. But you are a leader. If you've been filled with Christ inside, you are ready to lead somebody. Do you believe that this morning, though? Tell yourself, I am a leader. All right, now tap your shoulder, a friend on your shoulder, and say, am I a leader? Yes, you are. All right. You are a leader. You don't need permission to talk to people about Jesus, lead them to Jesus. I'm just going to share like a couple little last stories as we close up. But I'm going to talk about back in the day just for a second, Christian school. Do you remember homeschoolers? Now, there's the good homeschoolers and the bad homeschoolers. I went to like the only Christian school in the city. So we got a little bit of both. There's like the one homeschoolers that were so sweet. They're like smarter than everyone in the class and they knew it. But then he had the other homeschoolers who were like, we're going to go into some courting. Like, we're not going to date anyone until we're 30. And we've made a sovereign covenant before. Like, it was just like, and you know, we have this is called a nice touch. And they'd like, okay, who taught you this? Mom told us how to touch nice. And do you see our clothes? You see our dresses? We made this. I'm like, you're a boy. Why do you have that skill? You don't need that skill. So the culture I'm trying to say is, we don't be that homeschooler this morning. Sometimes Christianity can be viewed a little bit like homeschoolers. A little bit like, man, it's just like they're little colonies within Saskatoon who don't ever just engage with culture. People are like, we haven't had a TV for 25 years. I'm like, yeah, I can tell. I can tell by how you relate to people. So anyways, live a life. You have so much freedom. So much freedom. I say go until you get the red light. Go until you get, no, let's start at the yellow light, okay? Red light. Sometimes you slide through the intersection. But live with some balance, okay, people? That's what I'm trying to say. You're so free. Just go for it. You're ready. You're full of the Holy Spirit, are you not? Yes, you are. It's time to go for it. There's only so much teaching before you start turning into a spiritual big man like me. This would be a representation of just a little bit too much spirituality and not enough work. If this was a spiritual thing going on right now, I could afford to work a bit. I'm not the pregnant one right now. Although I do not mind eating a little bit more food in this season. Let's just live free. How many like this idea of being free? Well, that's good. Do what you love. God loves you, and he actually likes to see you do things that you love to do. God loves you. He's looking out for you. You don't have to wait to talk to Angenai. Some of you are sitting on this something, and it's called, like, affecting. I don't know what the word is. It's like you're sitting on something that says usefulness. You're sitting on something that is active. You're just sitting on it, and you're waiting for someone to discover you. But we're not X Factor. We're not American Idol. We're not like four judges waiting for you to come by and we're going to discover some skill. You just got to go for it. Just got to just shine. It's not about being arrogant, but there's a culture within, like C3 culture, what we're part of is something free. Do you guys know who Phil Pringle is? He's the main dude. Do you know who his son is, Joe Pringle? If you listen to those CDs, he rips it on those vocals. He's all, no one can hit those. But there's nobody going at the church saying, hey, son, why don't you hold back on those vocals? And that's the same at this church. Hey, if you can hit the notes, I want you to go for it. If you can hit it and hit it well, hey, rip it up. If you have some style to you, if church is a bit too white up here, break out of that. Sing some runs. Go for it. You're free. This is a free place, and it's time that we start living free. It's good to sit, it's good to learn, but it's time to go for it. It's time to go change our city. You agree? So we're going to pray for everyone, and even if you would like to stand, this is something like we're going to do a lot of stuff like this at the leadership retreat. But if we could stand together right now, we're going to pray. And if you can be so bold to stand with me. So even if you'd like to close your eyes, that's fine. I want you to start thinking of anything that's been limiting your mind. Anything that's been disappointing you. Anything that's been a lie over you on your mind. If you can even just picture that. Something that's been holding you back. Some lie that says, I'm not quite capable yet of being a leader. Something that's holding you back from just living how you're meant to live. If you can think upon that, and then we're just going to go like this. Pretend like it's a hat, okay? So simple. Everybody just think of that thing, and as like maybe a little prophetic sign, we're just going to lift it off and just flick it, okay? So everyone think of that right now and just lift it up and flick it, okay? Super simple. You are so set free this morning. So let's just pray together. God, I just pray that the Spirit that lives in Christ, that lived in Christ, that also lives with us, it is praying, Abba, Father. It is praying, you are at the right hand right now, Jesus, of the throne of the Father, interceding on our behalf. We are more than capable. We are more than able to go, to run, to go for it, Jesus. So any lies in our heart, right now, we dismiss those in Jesus' name. Even right now, if you can think of a lie, just say, you are dismissed in Jesus' name. You are not bigger. The lie you are saying is not bigger than my big God. This morning, if you have been believing something that is not true, I want you to even just, you can just say it. In your mind, you can think it and just say, in the name of Jesus, that lie is dismissed off my life. I am not going to live defeated. I am not going to live discouraged. I am going to have courage. I'm going to live from the Holy Spirit that lives within me starting now. How many can do that today? Would you guys be so bold to just lay your hands on the people next to you on the shoulders? Sway back and forth. La, 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 la. And just to wrap up this morning, just say all together, let's just say we are going to go for it. One, two, three. We are going to go for it. Now give them a hug. So that's beautiful. That's so simple. But we are able to go for it. I don't even have the band up, and that's okay. We're going to have an amazing morning. And you guys are dismissed. Are you ready? Let's go for it in Saskatoon. Hallelujah. Amen.